Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
To look at this other side of the cross. The cross as God's property to break man. The cross as a divine strategy to break our barriers. The cross as a divine strategy to break what stands between us and His fullness. Brother, do you know you can be better than what you are today? Sister, do you know that you are not yet the best of what God really, really desires you to be? Do you know that even going to the heart of God, the beautiful dream that God has about you has largely not been realized? We are going to be looking at the cross tonight as God's strategy of dealing with the limitations of our lives. We are going to be looking at the cross as God's divine strategy of removing what has hindered God from making the best of our lives. I don't know how we shall be able to finish this matter tonight, but I just believe that when we come to a level, we shall be ready to pray. If you understand, you will pray. If you understand the gravity of what God wants to do, you will stop bragging. And a lot and lot of us were very, very proud of ourselves. We are very proud of our achievements. We are very proud of our position. Some of us, we don't have money, yet we are proud of what we are. Some of us, it's not as if we have become something, yet we are so proud and conscious of ourselves that if anybody took us for granted, you will almost want to quarrel. Sister, do you know this is not the best that you can be? Do you know that heaven actually is wailing over your life? That this is not what we wanted. This is not the creation I made. This is not what I desire and designed your life to be. This is not the extent to which I want to carry your life. We are going to read some 2-3 scriptures tonight as we begin to look into what the cross does to release a man from what is hindering him from being what God wants him to be. And as you will want to pray with me tonight, even if you don't want, I think I have a great need tonight again to cry to God. I think I will need the ministry of the cross in a new way like never before. I think I will desire that God will apply the cross again know it will come. Let it come. It's better than a sorrow. Rather than be a wretched soul somewhere, bragging about self, let God scatter it, so that I can be molded into what He desires and desires me to be. In the name of Jesus. I want you to start by taking your Bible, and I'd like you to open with me quickly to the book of John once more. We read John 12 yesterday. We must read it again. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Once again. Are you ready, John? John chapter 12. I would like you to follow me a little as you consider from verse 1. I want you to look at verse 17.
Answered and said, "This voice came not because of me,
but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifies what then he should die. Let's stop there. May God bless this word to your hearts and to our spirits in the name of Jesus. We have read a passage that is very, very technical. But I want God to give me opportunity to look into God's wisdom so that as many of you as really, really desire to break forth from this level of limitedness, have ever been experiencing limitations in your life, if there has ever been something that you want to become and your heart cannot reach it, if there is a level of spiritual experience that you expected to have reached, but you are not able to reach it, and you are getting to 10 years in the Lord today. If your years are increasing and you are not seeming to move from where you are, I want to pray that the Holy Ghost will help you tonight. Particularly, don't depend on another person. Don't depend on the brother or the sister or your son. That God will help you personally to reach out and say, God, do this thing to my life. Do this thing to my life. Don't let me die a limited person. The story of Jesus is still the story that must enlighten us again tonight. By the time we have gone through that story, we may do a little application of it to our own lives. And then I think it will be enough to pray wherever we can pray tonight. The Lord Jesus, and I know you know him. Don't you know him? I know you know Jesus. You know the man of Galilee. Do you know the man of Galilee? Who went about doing good? Who healed the sick? The man of Galilee who fed 5,000 with bread and fish. The man of Galilee who prayed for Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and she rose up. The man of Galilee who commanded the sea to keep quiet, and there was calm. The man of Galilee who walked on top of the sea. The man of Galilee who said that demons, he came down from Magdalene. And legions of demons, he came down from the man of Gadara. When the cripple saw him, they started walking. The crippled of the Bethesda, who was there for 38 years, he stood up and started walking. The woman with the issue of blood for 10 years left Jesus, and everything finished immediately. When blind Bartimaeus met Jesus, his stop sitting by the wayside. He said, I opened and he walked on the way with other men. When the poor widow of Nain was about to bury her only son and met Jesus, the dead corpse jumped up and the burial ceremony was cancelled and the young man went home, both a nasty man, the man of Galilee. The man of Galilee that would stand up and lift up his hand and say, Father, I know you hear me always. The man of Galilee, who even at the time he was alive, everybody wanted to make him the king. He did not complain, he did not do politics. Yet, the whole world was looking to make him the king. The man of Galilee that declared, be greater than Solomon, is here. The man of Galilee, Jesus, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. The man that heaven's bold record and said, this is my well beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He will stand on this side of Galilee and keep looking at this man of Galilee. He's already admirable. We really will have loved to hold on to the man of Galilee. But you see, the man of Galilee is a limited man until he became the man of Calvary. As glorious as Jesus was, as powerful as he operated, until he came to Calvary, he only had a limited influence. And he himself knew he had to go to Calvary. He himself knew he had to get to Calvary. Otherwise, all that we are talking about him will still be a very, very small limitation. What is it that happens at Calvary? That even Jesus, who should have accepted the crown that they wanted to place on his head that time, who should have built a monument around all the miracles he had performed, who should have put together all the people that have benefited from his miracles as his exhibits. We should have gone from one place to another, showing the miracles of 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish that could feed thousands upon thousands upon thousands. But there's something Jesus discovered, that I pray that I will discover it, you will discover it, so that this limitedness, this narrowness of our lives might be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of John chapter 12, you know in chapter 11, he performed the miracle of raising Lazarus, a man that died for 4 days. And because of that miracle, a lot of people started running from one town to another, not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus, a man who died and rose after 4 days. And while everybody was coming like that, even Jesus, are you hearing me, please? Even Jesus, he got an ass and sat on the earth And it was a glorious coronation, but you have been a limited coronation. Some of you are already important in your small locality, and it has hindered you from seeing what God wanted you to be. Some of you are already the big man in the church, and you are so obsessed with this position that you cannot see where God wanted you to get to. Even Jesus sat on the ass, and people were singing. What were they singing? Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. The angels are singing, Hosanna to the Lord. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna to you, our Lord. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna to you, our Lord. Can you join me? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to you, our Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna to you, our Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna to you, our Hosanna, Lord. Hosanna to you, our Hosanna, 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 Hosanna to you. This time, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna to you, our Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Limitation until he comes. took us, he recognized that this thing that is happening on this other side of the cross of Calvary is nothing to write home about. Jesus discovered that until a man comes to Calvary, until he comes to the place of the cross, he cannot be the best that God ordained him to be. Even the people, when they saw people singing and waving hands, women, children, young people, everybody was moving. If it were today, you will see despatch riders and all the going Arab boys. They will have just formed, you know, what do you call it now? They just form a line with each one of them that cannot afford an handkerchief. They will just put a small pamphlet in front of the machine. And then they will be going in a company. And then the circle is coming. Hosanna. The son of David. The son of David. I know if I were the one, I would never go to Calvary. I know if I were the one that has a little opportunity, even just the 1% of what Jesus had, I will run away completely from Calvary, and I will hold tightly unto that thing. I will not let it go. And even if it is fading away, I will take the photograph of it. I would like to put it on video, such that even when there's nothing again with me, because everything you have before Calvary, you are for a little time. It will fade away. Anything you acquire before you come to Calvary, they are temporary. Even if you are a wonderful minister, but you've not come to Calvary, you've not understood the ministry of the cross, it cannot last. I have seen people that they even beat Wonderful Church, but they have they never themselves come to Calvary. It went away. Some have not died up to today, but we don't hear of them again. It has finished. I know if I were Jesus of Galilee, the man of Galilee, I will never leave my Galilee. I know myself that I will normally just hold on to that. And I will say to God, whatever is beyond the cross, keep it. This one that I have got before the cross is good enough. I would have simply said, Master, whatever you have over there that you are saying I must cross the cross before I come over there, keep it. This is all right. Don't you see people singing for me? Don't you see all this multitude that are running up and down for me? They wanted to crown me actually. But Jesus, he knew that Calvary, is a stepping stone unto a blessedness that has no limit. I pray that God will encourage you to come there in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, but let me go on, because I'm praying that wherever I can stop tonight, and I just desire that we should pray, I will not force you at all. I just pray that God shows you it And if you can see something, you might willingly, not waiting for another person, willingly say, God, take me there. Actually, this thing that I've been guiding about myself has kept me on this side for too long. Puncture it and take me across in the name of Jesus. Now look at it. The Bible said, even the Pharisees therefore said among themselves in verse 19, perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. It is even possible that people outside there will think that you have already arrived, and yet you have not come to Calvary. It is even possible that others will look at you and say, this brother has already been fully established. God is already using this man so mightily. God is already manifesting his power in his life. Some people may even be praying quietly that they want to be what you are. But Jesus was not confused. There is something better beyond the cross. Jesus did not get confused that there is something much more glorious on this other side of the cross that a man cannot touch until he comes to the cross. And why everyone says the whole world has gone after Jesus, you will see what he regarded, what the people said is the whole world. Let me ask you, what was the whole world that they were talking about that time, from that scripture? What was the whole world that said has gone after Jesus at that time? Lift up your hand so I can hear you. Yes, sir. Is that even the whole nation of Israel? Yes, sir. What they are calling the whole world was what? Just Jerusalem. If Jesus has settled without Jerusalem, where is that Jerusalem today? Do you remember there came a time when there was no more Jerusalem? There are many things you are holding on to now that will not let you come to the cross. It will soon go. It will soon disappear. Only after the cross can you have something that you can hold, and it will be permanent and eternal. Whereas everybody said the whole world has gone after him, Jesus knew that the whole world they are talking about is what? Just Jerusalem. I know that there are some of you here, pastors. Everybody say, God, this man is very poor. He's a great man of God. In fact, the whole world is listening to him. And what is the whole world? Just your village. Just your village. If somebody mistakenly take your name to Abba, I said, do you know one great man of God? Reverend Dr. Archibong. They say, Reverend Dr. Archibong. You mean you know him here? They say, Archibong. Who is Archibong? And your own great hero here, when we get to Abba, is not known. And that is all that Reverend Archibong will not give up to come to the cross. A flame that never passes the little town of Uyo. A recognition that never passes the little denomination where you are from. But Jesus, there was something he saw that made him go for the cross. And tonight, I want you to pray that God will help you yourself to see it, that willingly you will cherish the cross and go for it in the name of Jesus. While everybody was thinking, who was God after him? Some men came from Greek. Even Greeks. They came to worship at the feast, and they came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee. And desired him, saying, "Sir, we will see Jesus. We will see Jesus." It was an excitement that even people from Greek will come to see Jesus. I don't know how you feel, but if I was the one, I would feel so high. Do you know that even this meeting, some few missionaries, white people, know that they are just coming from USO. They are living in Abak. They have been in Abak for the past 10 years. As they were serving the Kwavo mission there, or the Full Gospel Church of God there, if they happen to come for this meeting, a white man, his wife, and another white lady, if they were to attend this meeting, what will happen? They can't, even white people attended the meeting. Don't you imagine how we will feel so good that even white men are sitting there? And if the white man should raise up his hand and say he wants to rededicate his life to Christ, you say, what? How even the white man repented? You know, see how we were so happy. He said, this meeting is going international. See how I will quickly come down from the pulpit just to greet him, and I may even likely change my voice. I say, "How are you, sir? How are you?" Just to prove that something good is happening. And if there was a cameraman around, I would ask him to do what? To focus on those people and snap it. So that when I get back home, I say, "You see, I'm not just a local preacher again. Even white people attend my meetings nowadays." You like to say something like that. But Jesus knew that there was something beyond Galilee. There was something beyond the two Greeks that came to see him. And when Philip came to Jesus, to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came to tell Jesus, see how they were so excited. They said, "Excuse me, sir, even some Greeks are looking for you. Some special people have come from the whole land of Greek. They are here to greet you, sir. They have heard of your ministry, and they have heard of your fame, and they are here to just congratulate you. Can we bring them in?" If I were Jesus, what would I have done? I would suspend all other arrangements. I would push out all the other people that have been waiting. And what would I do? I say, "Usher them in. That these are special people." I would stand from my seat and shake them and say, "Brothers, welcome. This is where we are. Even though we are not known, but God has recognized us. Some of you have come all the way from Greek, isn't it? To hear the great wisdom of God." Hallelujah. But let's understand something about Jesus that has left us a mark to pursue. The Bible said, Jesus answered them and said, you see, I did not see him talk about the Greeks. To the disciples that came to bring the Greeks, that was the climax. They were so excited. They must have whispered to themselves, "Look,
Our ministry is no more one of this great ministry. Thank God, even Greeks are beginning to recognize our master. Philip must have whispered to Bartholomew and said, Bartholomew, praise the Lord. We have some special guests. We are going international. So we are just all Galileans before, but now we have some Greek in our rank. And they will have been rejoicing and say, yes, we have a man to associate with. And just imagine the day they were singing Hosanna in the highest. Look at how happy the 12 apostles were. Because they are the direct assistants for the king. You don't know that, you don't understand what I'm saying. If Brother John becomes appointed as commissioner for education, somebody said amen to that. That's alright. Now, what will happen to some of us that have been going about with him? Some will be so happy. Say, yes, the commissioner is my friend, you know. We are together. You see, it's a member of our fellowship. A member of our fellowship. Now we used to work together. See, all of us, even those that have never shaken hands with him before, we start saying, you see, Brother John. It's Brother John. It's our man. He's in government. That was how the disciples were so happy. When Jesus was riding on an ass, there are people that are rejoicing for you just because you are riding an ordinary ass. There are people that think that you have already arrived simply because you are just elevated on an ordinary ass. But what God has for you after Calvary is unimaginable. It's beyond all of this. I pray you will abandon the ass and abandon the applause and follow Jesus to the cross. The Bible said, Jesus, who understood the matter ahead of him, he has seen a glory. And oh, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Someone should run to Hebrews 12 and help us read Hebrews 12. Will you quickly read Hebrews 12? And will you read verse 2 quickly with a loud voice? Yes, yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame? Yes. Hallelujah. If you don't have a vision for something eternal, you will never embrace the cross. If what you are as of today, you are satisfied with it, this message will not make any meaning to your life. In fact, if all you need can be God on this other side of Galilee, without getting to Calvary, you will never see this message. In fact, you will be wondering, why is it that they are talking about that when he could have just prayed for me right now and I would have gotten more bread and more fish? I remind myself again and again, there is something better than what I am today that God is holding out to me, and I want to go there. There's a level of ministry that is beyond what we are doing today. There's a level of divine anointing, divine revelation, divine manifestation of the grace and power of God. Much more than what we are doing today. And God is saying to me, do you want to come there? Said, there is one place you must come. You must come to the place of Calvary. In the Old King James, they call it the place of the scorn. May God grant you understanding in the name of Jesus. So what did Jesus say to them? He said, the hour is come. that the Son of Man should be glorified. But verily, verily, I say unto you. So let's note Jesus. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it does what? It abides alone. As far as Jesus was concerned, do you know what he's calling abiding alone? Do you know his own understanding of alone in that verse? All the crowd that was singing for him, compared with the joy that was set before him, he looked at it as being what? Abiding alone. Compared with the kind of level of usefulness, level of fruitfulness, level of manifestation of the glory of God, the level of spiritual influence that he was going to exercise all over the world, he regarded all of Jerusalem as what? As low. When the Greeks came to greet him and say, Master, you are this, he said, if I settle with these people, all of my life will look like what? A no. And what did Jesus say? Said, but if it die, but if it die, it does what? It bringeth forth much fruit. Now listen, this is where we are going to pause for a little time before I move and then we pray together tonight. Jesus said, except. Excuse me, what's the meaning of except? Unless. What's the meaning of unless? Not until. That's a good word. Not until. Not until a corn of wheat falls down and dies, it abides alone. You see, as I read that scripture again today, I became a little more afraid that Jesus says, not until the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will always be alone. If he runs and does his death for 20 years, for 20 years, he will be what? He will be alone. And if he does his death for 50 years, for 50 years, what will he be? He will be alone. But if he dies, if he goes and faces death, very quickly, what will the Bible say happen to him? It will bear much fruit. The cross is the place where God brings to death our Galilees. So that we can enter into unlimited fruitfulness. The cross is the place where God helps a man to plant his seed so that he can germinate unto much fruitfulness. The cross is the place where sin is brought to death so that a blessedness, of fruitfulness, of glory, may do what? May break forth. And let me say again to you, my brother, my sister, you may die alone if you refuse to come to the cross. Your life may not be a blessing, may not be able to gather in all that God would have wanted you to gather in if you continue to evade and run away from the cross. My brother, no matter what you are defending about yourself, no matter what you are holding tightly about yourself, I beg you this night, release it. Release it. There is something after a plant has been planted. If you see a farmer that has some seed yards, and every day he wakes up, he looks at his seed yards, and he pities it. He says, "God, this seed yard is so beautiful. I don't want it to be buried underground. This seed yard." He comes out again and puts it on the table and decorate it and say, "Kai, my seed yam." What will happen to that man in the time of harvest? He will go hungry. Now, what will happen to that seed yam itself? It will die. There is no time you will not die. Are you hearing me? There is no time you will not die. If you die now with the cross, we have a hope for you. You will multiply. But if you decide to keep yourself until the inevitable death comes on you, you will die. But you will die alone. And there is no hope of anything. What pains me is that some of us are only waiting to die the inevitable death and not rushing for the cross that releases all the limitations of our lives by destroying what is hindering us from being what God wants us to be. The Bible said, Jesus, he said, except not until he cannot wait first to the ground and dies. My brother, my sister, Jesus saw that there is a need and he knew it and he went for it. But you will see what he said, which I want you to note, because you also, God is going to confront you with a need tonight. A need to release yourself. A need to give up yourself. A need to take up your cross. And let's get to the place of Calvary. A need where you stop self-defense. Where you say, God, this self-life of mine, I want to release it. I want it to go. I want to die and be buried. So that, Lord, in my lifetime, I may experience a resurrection that lifts me out from among my colleagues, that I may become a blessing in my generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, what happens to it, please? It abides alone. bringeth forth much fruit. Now see what he said in verse 25. He that loveth his life shall keep it. What do we have to place? How many of you love your life? Tell me the truth. Yes. What did Jesus say? What did he say? You will lose it. It's not a curse. It's the truth. Those who are keeping their lives tight, those who are defending themselves, and I know you, one of the first manifestations of self is self-defense. If something happens between you and your wife now, you will see that man, Mr. Self, do what? Defending itself. You don't want to die. If somebody were to say something that is not completely true about you, what will happen? What will happen? You see yourself wake up and say, no, it's not like that. Let us not twist the facts. You don't want to die. You so love your life. And Jesus says, except he dies, he dies alone. It abides alone. But if he dies, if he dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life, not in heaven, but where? In this world. Let me say to you, sir, there is no cross in heaven. So you don't know that? Huh? Do you know that the ministry of the cross is only relevant here on earth? After Jesus finished everything on the cross, the Bible says he left, but the cross is left behind. It is in this world. It is in this age that Jesus is expecting us to allow the cross to do this work that will release your life for a blessing. I know what I've said so far. It is high standing. So what does it mean? Does it mean say we should go and die? Should I kill myself? Should I kill myself? Listen. I will actually say you should kill yourself. But you see what you thought when you say you are killing yourself is to kill your body. We are not talking of killing your body. What must die is not your body. It's what? Your self-life. Let me ask you, where is yourself? Inside. That's why every time you are talking, what do you say? Myself? Everyone say myself. What do you notice? Do you notice that it's a reflex? That your hand is already going somewhere. There is somebody inside of you who is very ambitious, who is very, very, very set on his own ways, who is the one that is offended don't greet him well, you say, is that how to greet me? Are you with me? He's the one that when we are serving food and meat is on the other side, and what they put around you here is a small piece of fish, you will see something inside, say, but why are they doing like that? So what will you discover? You will take the long spoon in the name of stirring the soup. You stir it, stir it, stir it. It arrives on your side. That man is inside, he's always talking. And Jesus said, except he dies, it will make your life a lonely life. It will make your life lonely, no matter what you are doing. What you will get while you are defending self will be far, 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 far less than what God could make of your life. And Jesus said, he that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Hallelujah. So when Jesus now came to verse 31, you know we read verse 31 yesterday and we're very happy with it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be what? Cast out. And if I be lifted up. He was talking about the kind of death he was going to die. What is that death? The death of the cross. See now what he said. I withdraw all men. Did you see Jesus? Did he say, I have drawn all men? What did he say? I will. Why did he say, I will? He has not yet gone to the cross. He has not yet gone to Calvary. He knew that if he could be lifted up on the cross of Calvary, then every limitation to his life, to his authority, will break down. And I want to pray and impress upon your hearts tonight that if only you can be lifted up on the cross, then your life will begin to draw men unto God. As a preacher, if you want to be a man of influence, can I invite you to the place of Calvary? The more a man dies, the more he multiplies. That is the rule of the cross. So what is the matter that God has decided that except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone? What is it? Let me say two or three things. It is that the natural life, are you hearing me? The natural life which we were born with, which we learned when we went to school, which we grew up with, is not a life that can reproduce for God the kind of abundance He is looking for. The life that we inherited, the self life, it's not a life that God will want to multiply. The self life cannot contain, cannot bear the glory that God wants to release upon your life. Jesus saw that life and said it has to go. I thank God for Jesus. When he came to Jordan, that was the kind of death he died among sinners. The Bible says his fame went everywhere. But when they say everywhere, it was only around the villages, round about. And I've just discovered that if you want to multiply, what must you keep doing? You must keep dying. You must keep dying. You must keep dying. If you see farmers that now have plenty materials, what do they normally do? As soon as they harvest, what do? They replant. They replant. They replant. They replant. Every time you plant, there is a multiplication. If you want more multiplication on top of that multiplication, you plant again. And I see God saying, the only way for your life to be a blessing, a continuous blessing, is to keep dying. Is to keep giving up self for death. Is to let the cross continue to be at work upon your life, upon your self-life, every day. That is the only way by which the blessing, the purpose of God for your life can become accomplished. I come to discover that the ministry of the cross, to some people it might be a once and for all experience, but to a man that is growing and wants to enlarge, at every stage of promotion, you must die. Are you hearing me? Anytime God needs to promote you, he will make sure he brings you to Calvary, where you will die to what you have already accumulated. Anytime the Lord desires to make your life better than what it is today, is asking you, give up the ghost. Give up the ghost. Give up so that I can promote you onto a new level of blessedness. This night, sirs and sisters, I dare ask you, there's not much to talk, but to call on you. I find that the cross is what releases the blessedness of a man's life. The cross is what breaks forth a man and enlarges him. Whereas they were singing in Jerusalem about Jesus, when he came to Calvary and he died, do you know what has happened now? All tribes, all tongues, all peoples, in all nations of the whole world, what are they doing, please? They are now singing, they are confessing that Jesus is Lord. See how beautifully we arranged the singing that they were singing on the other side of Galilee. It looks so wonderful. It was all of Jerusalem. But today, go all over the world. Go all over the tribes, all the nations, all tribes, all towns. They all confess that Jesus is Lord. He is not just the King of Jerusalem, the King on an ass, but now is the King of kings, is the Lord of lords. All angels bow down before him. All cherubims and seraphims, all the 24 elders, they remove their crown at his feet. Say, thou art worthy, O Lord. All angels, all cherubims, all seraphims, all the 24 elders, all the four living creatures, and all tribes and tongues that nobody could number. They are singing daily for the man of Calvary. Not the man of Galilee, but the man of Calvary. Excuse me, sir. I'm praying that you will also come to Calvary. I want you to pray with me tonight. Lord, there is something that I am holding on to that is not allowing me to break forth into your fullness. I want to submit it. I want to surrender it. I want to let it go. Only the Holy Spirit can explain this message to you. I try to make it more explicit, but there is no chance. The better for us to stop here and talk to God. It's better for us. Those that are saying, Lord, break that barrier. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross. This limitedness of my life is enough. This limitation I have known over the years is enough. Take me to where you bless your men. Except you come and we fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. You may not know all the implications, but I wish you will follow Jesus to Calvary. I wish you will follow Jesus to the place where the natural is put to death. I wish you will stop bragging on what you know already on your Galilee experience. Can you come over to Calvary and say, Lord, even if everything will finish, let it go. Let us bow down. Let us bow down. Let us bow down to pray. Let us bow down to pray. If you have an understanding tonight, you will like to pray with us. If you have an understanding tonight, you will not let anything disturb your heart. You will like to talk to God and say, Father, tonight, the place where you break through a man's life, the place where you turn a man's life onto a blessing, the place where you enlarge a man's character, the place where you turn a man's life around for your glory. Lord, carry me there. Father, carry me there. Enough of holding tightly to my self-life. Enough of struggling to keep to myself, to keep to my life. Lord, take me there. Take me there. Take me there. Take me there. Thank you. together with us as we pray. Calvary. take me away from my Galilee experience. If I die in Galilee, I die alone. But I can make it up to Calvary, I'll bear much fruit. Those that you have seen blessedness in their lives is because they have come to death. And if God wants to give a man more blessedness, he brings him to more death. If God wants to expand a man, he brings him to more death. Death to fame, death to criticism, death to money. When God wants to give you more money, he brings you to a level of death unto money. Those that are alive unto money, they cannot have it. What they will have of money is a limited money. I ask you once more before we pray together, do you want the cross? Do you truly desire, take me, Father, from where I am, take me to the Calvary, and there, Lord, apply the cross. Don't mind the way I will cry. Don't mind the shame. Don't mind what I will lose. What I lose, I will gain it. Don't mind my being faded out. I know I'm faded only to see a glorious outburst. Who among us is saying that sincerely to God? If you do, join us as I take the song the last time. The cross. Down there. There's a sense in which Jesus has finished the work which we thank God for. Yet there is a sense in which you are asking that same death to come on our own lives. Lord, I pray, even when there's need for more explicit understanding, provide it in the name of Jesus. But Lord, as many as have had a glimpse in their spirit tonight, as many as have discovered that you are saying, come unto another death. Come and die to yourself. Come and die to money. Come and die to fame. Come and die to your self-defense. Come and die another death, so that there can be another multiplication in your life and in your ministry. Lord, I pray, as you enabled Jesus to get to Calvary, some never got to Calvary before they died. They died alone. Jesus fell under that heavy load of the cross 3 times. But you did not allow him to die until he got to that Calvary. Lord, I ask, don't allow our lives to terminate physically until we have experienced the death of Calvary. In the name of Jesus. Lord, if we die here now, we will only die alone. If we go to heaven, we may go alone. But Father, if you will arrange our calvaries and bring it very quickly, bring it quickly. Rush us into it, O God. That Father, our usefulness, our fruitfulness, our blessedness might break forth on the left and on the right. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray, don't allow Calvary to delay for us. How I wish, Lord, some of us will quickly come there, that we may begin also to experience the resurrection. The resurrection that brings about a matter, a power over our present age.